The next story I want to tell you begins when a man decides to slip home early from work on a sunny spring day. The man's name is Walter Selby. He's a character in a new novel called The King is Dead. In the 1950s, in Memphis, Tennessee, Selby arrives at the house where he lives with his wife and children. And then something happens that's a tiny bit strange. Walter Selby touches his wife's hand. In the words of novelist Jim Lewis, her palm is normally cool and dry.
But that afternoon her palm was damp. Slightly hot and slightly damp, and small and subtle though the difference was, it bothered him. He felt a clinging sensation, moist and cloying. It was like putting on a still wet bathing suit, and he disengaged his hand from hers and rubbed his palm slowly and almost unconsciously against the hip of his trousers, and then bade her goodbye for a time so he could shake off the office day.
It will be many pages before Walter Selby discovers why his wife's palm is damp, a discovery that will destroy his family and cause him to lose track of his children. Reviewers gush over Jim Lewis's writing style, though some find his novels a little disjointed. That's exactly what Lewis intends. In The King is Dead, Lewis tells his story in two sections set decades apart, and each section has its own main character.
And there's Walter Selby, who's a World War II veteran who returns home to Tennessee and in a spirit of public service goes to work for the governor of Tennessee as a kind of all-around aide and speechwriter and enforcer and researcher.
He's a political fixer.
Yeah, exactly. Another part of him is much more idealistic or emotional.
So Walter Selby is one of the main characters. Who's the other one?
The other one is his son, who grows up in first a series of foster homes and then is adopted with his sister by family in Washington, D.C. One of the things that he ends up doing is trying to figure out what the truth is about his family history, something which he had never really investigated until that point.
A big portion of this novel is set in a very specific time and place, Memphis, Tennessee in the 1950s and early 60s.
Memphis, to me, was just about the most interesting place in America at the time. It was, in a lot of ways, where I think a good portion of contemporary American culture was invented. And it's a very strange place, and it's a somewhat eccentric place, and it, I think, represents a kind of meeting ground for a lot of different aspects of American life. The South meets the North there, the Midwest meets the East there. It was just a kind of wild and unpredictable place.
You write about Memphis in the 50s. You call your book The King is Dead. And yet there is only the tiniest passing Memphis. There's only the tiniest mention of Elvis. How did you manage that?
I just thought if I addressed it directly, it would be sort of overwhelming. And in fact, I think as much as I love Elvis, there's a lot of other things going on in Tennessee at the time which were equally interesting.
You've got country singers.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a progressive governor running around trying to improve this poor state in Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
Is that based on a real governor?
No, not at all. In fact, I went out of my way to, I still to this day don't know who was actually the governor of Tennessee at the time.
So, really?
Yeah.
I would have thought, you know, it's a historical novel. You do a lot of historical research.
I did a certain amount of historical research. I did enough so that I didn't make any terrible mistakes, I hope. In fact, I haven't been in Memphis since I began the book, I don't think.
Were you ever in Memphis?
Yeah, I've been through there a number of times, sure. Yeah, it's a great city.
And I realize you're writing about universal issues here, but you set a book in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody flips to the back cover here and it immediately says Jim Lewis was raised in New York and London.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me that you haven't even spent a lot of time in Memphis, Tennessee. You're treading on dangerous ground here, aren't you?
I guess. You know, I mean, The King is Dead is a Southern novel the way, you know, Hamlet is a play about Denmark. I mean, I don't think, I think there's a tendency to sort of fetishize historical and geographical accuracy at the expense of what it is that a writer is really aiming at, which is a story and a situation and people's lives.
Can you just describe who the king is when we say the king is dead?
It definitely plays into what we were just talking about. When I was a kid, I remember hearing the phrase, the king is dead, long live the king. And at the time, when I was five or six, it made absolutely no sense to me at all. It was this sort of paradox. What it suggests to me is just this, the passing of generations and the natural progression of time and the way each one of us sort of assumes a role or a position in life and hopefully passes it on to whoever follows us.
You've got a lot of elements of this book that kind of come in out of left field. Characters get introduced for a single chapter and go away again.
Mm-hmm. I wanted the book to be sort of big and sloppy and fun and to just keep telling stories over and over again.
You wanted it to be big and sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Maybe just out of perversity, because I think there's so much emphasis these days on tightening things up. And you read novels and they read like they're 100,000 word magazine articles. And I don't think that that's what a novel is necessarily for. I think a novel ought to be expansive and generous that way.
Could you read for me the first two paragraphs on page 74?
Sure.
This is a description of a country singer who appears briefly in the book, a Hank Williams-like character who was on a bender the night before, wakes up terribly hungover, and manages to pull himself together for a performance.
From the wings of the stage, the singer looked much bigger than he had in the hotel room. There was something original and mean about the man, a whole new way he came to town, towing his temper behind him. Out in the audience, the people sat politely, clapped loudly after each song, and some of them cheered and a few of them hooted. They'd come out of the alleys and in from the farms for the night, $1.50 to get in, clean clothes, a shave, hair slicked down, and not one of them was smiling. They knew all the songs, and they watched the singer perform as if they were worshipping bad luck.
Jim Lewis is the author of The King is Dead. Mr. Lewis, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Our program is directed tonight by Petra Mayer. Walter Ray Watson edited and Devar Ardalan produced, with Tracy Wall and Susan Stone. The technical director is Neil Ellis, with audio engineers Jerry Tennant, Carlos Gomez, Chris Nelson, and Peter Alina. We'd like to offer a belated thanks tonight to member station WUGA in Athens, Georgia. They fed us some wonderful tape. And finally, we'd like to say farewell to Paul Brown, our executive producer on the weekends for the last 2 years. He is staying with NPR but leaving the weekends, and we wish you the best, Paul. From NPR News, that's All Things Considered. I'm Steve Inskeep.